The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Football season is upon us. Can you believe it? Are you looking for a place to make your online wagers? Then head to betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. You know, I was reliving some of the Mayweather-McGregor. It's apparently the one-year anniversary of their fight. And there has never been a contest of any, I don't think any, I leave it at combat sport, but man, I can't think of a football or a basketball game. I can't think of any athletic contest that has been more rewritten falsely as time has gone by. That fight that they did is viewed very negatively if you were to go and do a search on something the kids call the internet. Very negatively by sportscasters, by people within the industry, fellow fighters, particularly the boxers. Maybe not as much by MMA. Very negatively that it never should have happened and what a sideshow it was, what a terrible fight it was. And that is just so false. That is rewriting history. And I find it amazing. From a human psychology standpoint, I find that absolutely amazing. There are things over time, okay? Lewis and Clark, by example, where there wasn't media. There wasn't able ways to capture this. There wasn't proof and evidence through video and recordings. This happened a year ago, and it was recorded, and it was out there. And in one short span of 365 days, it has been completely rewritten from reality. That contest was fantastic. And fighters lie, and promoters lie, and people lie. Numbers don't lie. I will just simply remind you of the truth and the facts that we have. And whether you like it or not, you will be confronted with it was a fantastic sporting spectacle. The first piece of evidence we have is they did a world tour over the span of a week in four different cities, in two different countries, and they sold out every one of them. And they did them at extremely inopportune times. The first press conference was at 1 o'clock in L.A. in the summertime on a Monday. To get people to give up a beautiful summer day in L.A. and come indoors to watch a press conference where there's absolutely no opportunity of a fight breaking out. These are fight fans fully aware that there is going to be no fight. They were scalping tickets outside. That is a success beyond explanation that has never happened in any other sport ever. And it was a Monday at 1 o'clock in summer in Los Angeles. They went to the next city and the next city and the next, and they did the exact same thing. Over the course of the week, Tuesday there's a press, Wednesday there's a press conference, Friday there's a press conference. Those aren't great days. Those aren't great time slots. Absolutely jam-packed. And they were wonderful. You had the greatest entertainer in mixed martial arts against the greatest entertainer in boxing. And they went out and they entertained. But that is the reality of those numbers. You move to the next number, which is the live gate. The live gate did over $70 million. I cannot recall the exact amount off the top of my head, but it was in excess. It was north of $70 million. To put that into perspective for you, the largest mixed martial arts event was Conor McGregor versus Eddie Alvarez in November of 2 years ago at Madison Square Garden that did 17 and change at the gate. 17 point something million. Just to put in perspective for you for how big this was. Now, that number has never been touched before or since. It was a one-off. And that is still as close as they got to Conor versus Floyd. Okay, you then go and look at the pay-per-view sales. And I realize those numbers are completely falsified, and I realize they're fake, and I realize they're regurgitated. However, they are the official numbers. As fake and false as they are, that is what we are officially to accept. That is the way it works in boxing. whatever the press release states the pay-per-view was becomes what the pay-per-view was. It was stated that it did 6.4 million by Dana White. That number was argued with Steven Espinosa that said it did 4.4 million. Okay. I'm going to take Dana's number. So 6.4 million, which makes it the greatest boxing fight and the greatest spectacle in the history of pay-per-view. To put it in perspective for you, Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather did 4 and change. It either did 4.2 or 4.4. I'm well aware that the reality is that neither one of those fights did those numbers. I'm well aware of the BS involved with those numbers. But that's still the business in the industry, and that will get regurgitated over time, including here by me. So Conor and Floyd, 6.4. Pacquiao and Floyd, the next closest thing ever, 30% less. You're then confronted with the greatest naysayers with the biggest voices at that time were Oscar De La Hoya, Manny Pacquiao, and Pauly Malignaggi. They were all against the fight. They had all of their different reasons as to why, but they were vocal and influential. All three of them, after the fight, got on their hands and knees and begged Dana White to give them the next opportunity to be able to box Conor McGregor. So what that does is that recorrects the fact that it was a very competitive and legitimate sporting event. It was tremendous business. And the only reason that they had any negativity or anybody else like them was out of jealousy. Also a very real human emotion. That does not surprise me to come from fighters who are trying to climb their way up and make the right moves. It does surprise me from members of the media who have now rewritten the history of that fight. That fight was also extremely competitive, not for anything else, but that was an extremely competitive contest that on paper was supposed to be so uncompetitive that people had called the Nevada State Athletic Commission out for even sanctioning it, called them out for the fact that it was a money grab, and that to put a guy that's 50-0 against a guy that's 0-0 is a precedent that simply had never been set in the history of athletic commissions, which is true. On all accounts, it was a cash grab. They should have got blamed for it, but ultimately they signed off. I'm just speaking to you through the fact that it was that controversial and it's supposed to be that lopsided and ended up going 30 minutes before the undefeated boxer could stop a guy that had never done it before, an amateur with an amateur's record, and still never knocked him down. That's just what happened. You don't have to like Conor, but these are the facts, and this is what I'm telling you. This is what happened, undeniably so. Absolutely undeniably so. I will then offer to you that in my memory, and feel free to challenge me if I'm forgetting something, in my memory, I have never seen a sporting event ever have a one-year anniversary celebration. I've never heard of such a thing. ESPN covered the fact that they fought a year ago. Fox covered it. I'm covering it for you now. Jim Rome covered it. The biggest sports shows in the country did shows on the one-year anniversary that has never been done before that I'm aware of. And yet the narrative still is recreated falsely to tell you that that was ridiculous, that the contest was ridiculous, even though we have all the evidence. We don't have to go to the people who went 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 to the people that saw Jesus. This is not one of those stories that is passed down and changed over time. It was videotaped and put out a year ago. The numbers stand. We have factual, empirical evidence. But we still have false opinions that continue to come out and be talked about. I've just never seen anything like this in sport. Very, very rare that people who saw something could be influenced over the course of 12 months that what they saw is not what they saw. It is shocking to me. We may, by the end of this tale, have yet another piece of evidence, which is we have the rematch between the two, which is something they both want to do. It's something that they both want to do. Floyd will fight again. Floyd has to fight again. The only thing more embellished than the pay-per-view numbers of boxing is Floyd Mayweather's net worth. They're both gross embellishments. I'm well aware. I don't want to hear about the 6.4 versus the 4.4. I don't want to hear about it because neither one of them are true. You guys try to correct me and go, Chael, it wasn't 6.4, it was 4.4, as though you know something. No, you don't. You're wrong, too. You got fed a shovel of horse crap, too. You just ate it down. I'm well aware that both of those numbers are lies. I'm just also aware that this is how boxing works. The biggest boxing fight of all time is whatever the press release puts out. That is what becomes the biggest boxing fight of all time. Never in the history of Time Warner or DirecTV or Comcast Cable has a CEO or a meaning executive in any one of those companies come out and supported the claims of the pay-per-view numbers. I'm fully aware that they're made up. But when you guys come in and try to correct me and tell me, Chael, you're saying the wrong number. No, no, no. I'm letting you know what was put out in the press release in the corrupt and fake world that is boxing. But that is what boxing has chosen to stand by. Whatever those press releases say is what boxing has chosen to stand by since the beginning of pay-per-view. And you can even take it back to closed circuit. So don't correct me on the numbers. I'm well aware. But a live gate of 70-plus million, $70-plus million dollars is insane. Canelo and Triple G will sell out if it hasn't already. I'm guessing. But if we go and check it, you'll see that my guess is very good. They will do somewhere between 16 and 19 million at the gate. 16 and 19 million, which is an incredible success. Stipe and Daniel Cormier, 2.2 million at the gate. Okay, I'm just putting in perspective for you how big 70 million is. Triple G and Canelo will fight in the exact same venue as Conor and Floyd did. Stipe and Cormier fought in the exact same venue as Cormier and Floyd did. Same amount of seats, same venue. Same everything, 2.2 million, 16 to 20 versus 70 plus million. People have rewritten that fight. And the narrative really never seems to go away. I feel like when I come out as a fighter who has been doing this for over 20 years, and I don't say this to pat myself on the back, but I do say this to bring credibility to myself when I make this statement. There is no other meaningful fighter in this sport that has been around since 1997. I am the only one. I think with my seniority in that, I should be able to make the statement to you that there is no such thing as carrying a fighter. That is a mythical narrative created after the fact. There has never been a fighter in history to say it ahead of time. Ever. Floyd Mayweather, in this case, has come out after the fact to add his own false narrative, which people have gobbled up, which is that he carried Conor McGregor. Aside from the fact that that is illegal, which I have brought up to you guys, and I read your comments on my YouTube page or on Twitter about this show, where you still insist that Floyd was carrying him, even though I confront you with the fact that it is against the law. Now, I realize you can break the law in with the Nevada State Athletic Commission and nothing will happen. But for Floyd to come out and even make the claim that he did it is illegal, okay? When I confront you with that and then I tell you, as a fighter, that has never happened in the history of the sport. There has never been a fight. Could you guys imagine? It'd be a great selling point. Why would a fighter not do it? It'd be a terrific selling point. Imagine if Floyd came out before the fight and he said, hey, guys, guess what? Tune in and watch this. Okay? I know you guys all think I'm going to get Conor out of there in the first round, and there's nothing to see. And that was a big problem, if you'll remember. And apparently, you guys don't remember. And I don't mean to scold my own audience. I'm sure you guys are with me on this. I'm talking about the outsiders that don't listen to the show who you may have to confront or argue with at work or at the water cooler or on social media, okay? I'm going to arm you with the evidence. I'm not actually scolding you guys, of course. Before that fight, a lot of people were not going to fly into Vegas, which is a destination for these fights. People come in. They weren't going to spend the money. They weren't going to shell out for the big tickets. Some people were even turned off to buy the pay-per-view, and the promoters were worried about that, because they knew what a lopsided contest they were about to have. They knew all the buildup, there was going to be less than one round, which is less than 3 minutes of action, because you have the greatest ever going against an amateur who's never done it. Okay? Could you imagine at that time how helpful it would have been for sales and media and marketing if Floyd came out and said, guys, don't worry about that. I'm actually going to carry him. I'm going to carry Conor McGregor. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of rounds. I'm going to take some of his best shots. In fact, my strategy is to just get him tired. He's never done 12 rounds before. In boxing, we have a formula that's built into place. You'll go anywhere from 6 to 8 to 10 years as an amateur, never getting more than 3 rounds. He's going to a main event, 12-round fight. I know he can't do it. I'm going to carry him. My strategy is to get him exhausted and then pick him apart. That would have been incredibly helpful. Incredibly helpful at that time. But he didn't say it. He didn't say it because it's illegal, because it's anti-competitive, because he would never do it. And he didn't do it in that case. But that continues to be part of the false narrative that comes up. And that one, people are just happy to gobble up. They just can't accept what they saw. It pains them. As lovers of the sweet science, it just pains them they're the greatest that they ever have, had to go 30 minutes with a guy who'd never done it. It really pains them. So they're more than happy to go along with the false narrative created by Floyd. They will never be able to respond to the fact of how helpful it would have been for marketing at that time, if you can remember that time, which I'm stunned to find out people cannot remember that time. They have rewritten that contest. If you could remember the time, though.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Football is back, and no one covers football like your friends here at Podcast One Sportsnet. We got you covered on a daily basis with the Dan Patrick Show and the Rich Eisen Show. We got that competitive spirit that we know is inside of you. And we want to get you the latest tips and news with RJ Bell's Dream Preview and Ross Tucker's Fantasy Feast podcast. We also have legendary coach Jim Harbaugh on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast, and Revenge of the Jocks with Super Bowl champion Martellus Bennett. Check out all these shows and more each week on PodcastOneSports.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. The sports betting scene is currently hotter than it's ever been. And the best part is our friends at BetOnline have partnered with us here at Podcast One Sportsnet to get you in on the action. These are our go-to guys, the guys we trust for all things betting, from lines to odds, wagers, inside info, you name it, check it out. We have baseball in full swing with college football and NFL right around the corner. BetOnline.ag is your main destination for all the hottest betting action. Head over to BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1. That's podcast, the number one, and you will receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. One more time, BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1 to start winning with your online sportsbook experts.
Now, back to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
I mean, you guys remember the buildup for that fight? Do you guys remember, you know, they were doing those countdown shows, and some of them they would show Connor, you know, training late at night, 2 and 3 in the morning, just busting his ass in the gym. And then they cut over to Floyd, and he's pulling through a drive-thru and getting a cheeseburger and fries. Do you guys remember that? That had to be done through storytelling. People always forget what promotion is. Okay, promotion isn't billboards and posters. Promotion is storytelling. Promoters were well aware we're up against it here. This is a ridiculous fight. It's a crossover fight. You got a great athlete and a great mixed martial artist, but he's never boxed before. He's never wrapped his hands and put on the gloves. He doesn't even have a boxing license. He's literally never against the greatest ever. This is a ridiculous thing we're trying to sell people. Shove down their throat and up their ass. The promoters were aware of it. So the way they told the story was that a 40-year-old Floyd Mayweather was not taking it serious while a 27-year-old Conor McGregor was eating, breathing, and sleeping it. Now, of course, that's just done in the editing room. At some point after a hard day of training, Floyd Mayweather has to have something to eat. He chose to go and eat a cheeseburger the day that the cameras were with him. There's nothing more to it than that. Absolutely. Conor could have had a cheeseburger that day, too. But they leave that part of the story out. Because they're trying to tell a story and convince you that in the absence of logic, they would like for you to suspend reality. Don't worry what's on the test. Just enjoy the class. Okay? They were very successful in doing that. But when I offer you that, could you imagine how helpful it would have been if Floyd, who's well aware of the story that's being told, which is why he took the car through the drive-thru and ordered the cheeseburger that perhaps he ate or perhaps he didn't. He wanted the story out there. He wanted a belief that I'm in for a hard fight. Floyd, who puts down every trained boxer he's ever going to fight as part of his shtick, would only build Conor up. Well, you know, he's got great hands and, you know, he's a southpaw and he fights in this way and he'll change his stance. And Floyd was trying to sell it. Al Bernstein and Max Kellerman weren't buying. They would argue with him and go, come on, Floyd, how could you be taking this serious? You're a 50-0 professional, most decorated boxer ever. You're taking on an amateur. Floyd was trying to sell it. Could you imagine at that time how helpful it would have been to say, I'm going to carry him? That would have not demoted the fight. That would have been compelling. I'm going to fight him with a hand tied behind my back. I'm only going to hit him with a right hand. This kid has no business in here. This is a different sport. He's disrespected the sport. He's disrespected me. I'm going to show you how easy this will be. I'm going to toy with him. He might even win some rounds. I'm going to let him get all his gas out of the tank, and I'm going to beat the holy hell out of him. So tune in when it happens. Could you imagine how helpful that would have been? But he didn't say it because it's against the law, okay? I'm not sure you guys fully understand that. You cannot do that with a privileged license. There's also never been a competitor in the history of time to do that. There are people who have done that in sport. They're called losers. I'm talking about a competitor here. I'm talking about a champion, and I'm telling you, there's never been a competitor or a champion in the history of time who doesn't blow that score open as quickly as they can and put the other team out of reach and gain as much ground in the race and score as many points on the field or the court as they possibly can as quickly as they can. It's never happened. I am blown away that I have to spend 5 minutes discussing that when it's as obvious as night following day. But I do see comments through YouTube and social media where people are more than happy to accept it. And even though I can give them the reality, and even though they've never been in the ring, they will still discount what I just presented for you. Because for them, it is easier to accept than it was to accept the reality that the greatest of all time had to go a half an hour and still could not put down a kid who had never done it before. And we've actually seen this in this sport before. It was a little bit new for boxing, but we've seen this in the sport of mixed martial arts before. When mixed martial arts started, they believed their market was going to be martial artists. That is who the guys in the old SEG days, right? You guys remember the lineage. SEG passed it to Zuffa, passed it to WMEING, XYZ alphabet. Okay? In the SEG days, Horry and Gracie and Art Davey, Bob Marowitz, when they got this thing going, they assumed their market was going to be martial artists that would want to know the greatest way to do unarmed combat. What they found out to their surprise, to their absolute shock, is martial arts hated mixed martial arts. It was very hard for the guy who had spent his life in karate, 7 and 8 and 10 years, some of them 20 years, and had their kids into karate. Some of them grandparents that had their kids and then their grandkids into karate. They believed in it. They never tested it. But they spent their time and they spent their money and they dedicated to a belief that if they were ever encountered, they could protect themselves. They were faced with the reality of, I wasted my time and I wasted my money. And it wasn't just karate. It was Aikido, Hapkido, whatever in the hell that even is. Kung Fu and Judo and right on down the list, they were confronted with the reality of, oh my goodness, this stuff doesn't work. That sensei in the black belt took my money over years and it was fake and it was false and it was very hard. So the way that those gyms dealt with it to stay sustainable to this day was to ignore it. They just denied it. They just denied that it could happen. And I can remember some karate guys. I use karate specifically. I'm not trying to pick on karate, but it's the most well-known for the traditional martial arts. That is what the most members and the most signups and the gyms that can stay and flourish and where parents still bring their children today to learn confidence and self-defense and discipline. It's none of those things. It's how to punch the air and pay $150 every 30 days. But the reason those still stay standing is when some of the great karate guys went in there and got destroyed. Hollywood had told us that's all you needed. It's all Chuck Norris had. Hollywood had told us how great JKD was because it's all Bruce Lee had. Hollywood had told us that Aikido was all you needed because it's all Steven Seagal had. So when they were confronted with the reality that none of it was real and it was just showmanship, and if there wasn't a willing partner known as a stuntman and there wasn't a script and cameras and editing, none of that would have been perpetuated in the first place. And this is the reality. This isn't me trying to pick on these other sports, but this was the reality of what they had to face in 1993 when the sport came out. you would then have some of these karate masters come out. You guys are going to love this. I mean, in the world of ridiculousness, this happened. Okay. They would come out after getting absolutely destroyed in moments and say, I'm really glad of the way I fought. I did not use my best techniques. I could have seriously hurt my opponent. I prefer to take this loss, not come back, but I was able to protect my opponent. I saw some openings, and I'm so glad I didn't use these ancient and secret techniques. And if anyone would like to learn those, the gym opens at 9 o'clock on Monday, and I'm over on 12th Street and Broadway in Milwaukee, so come on down. Right, and that's exactly what happened. People set aside what they saw. They set aside reality, and they thought he still got some secret techniques, and out of the kindness of his heart, he simply didn't use those and said got his own face bashed in on pay-per-view. It is that same kind of twisted logic and mindset, and absolutely nothing more than that, just a sadness and a reluctance to face reality that is keeping the argument afloat that Floyd Mayweather carried Conor McGregor. It is a level of ridiculousness that if you're listening to this and choosing to disagree with me, you should be ashamed and embarrassed. And not only with this argument, but you should look a little deeper into your own life and think about, what else do I fall for? What other things happen in my life that I do not question? What other things am I more than willing to accept when told by an expert that it isn't so? There is a deeper level of human psychology, and that's what I always like. That's what I always love about fans. I love about the promotion side. I love about the business, and I love about life in general. I love human emotion. I love human behavior. I love to watch it get manipulated. But when you have somebody that just doesn't have a level of intelligence and just simply can see something, watch it with their own eyes, and over the course of 12 months, have the yarn spun, refed, represented to them, and then have them believe it and perpetuate it to others, even though they saw it themselves. It's really an amazing thing. It is truly a fascinating thing that takes us far beyond sport and far beyond the contest of Floyd and Connor changing gears. Listen, when you're out shopping for a car, it's a relief to find someone that has your best interests at heart and will go out of their way to make sure your shopping experience is as convenient and worry-free as possible. Think about it. You have to search for a car. You got to compare prices, test drive that car. And let's not even get into all the paperwork involved. It's a large task at hand. Well, our friends at Hyundai have thought of you, and most importantly, they have thought of your time. And they prepared something called Shopper Assurance. It's a program that includes transparent pricing for convenience, flexible test drives where the car comes to you, streamlined purchase for efficiency, and a three-day worry-free exchange. Car buying made easier. It's possible with Hyundai Shopper Assurance. Visit HyundaiUSA.com/Shopper Assurance for all the information. I got to tell you, and I feel like I do owe it to tell you, I had Chuck and Tito wrong. I predicted it was never going to happen. It now is going to happen. Great. It leaves us with a lot of unanswered questions in terms of what we should expect that night. And as much as you probably think now this is Chael's opportunity to admit that he had one wrong and now he's going to piss all over it. No, I'm actually not going to do that. I'm on the other side of it. And here's what I mean. We don't know a damn thing about this show. Okay. And these two fighting, and not a lot to see there. You're not going to be a young fighter and go watch this because I need to see what's next and the latest and the greatest and the techniques. No, it's none of those things. Chuck Liddell told us the truth, though, so there's no hard feelings. Chuck Liddell came out and told the absolute truth, which is, I need money. I had a job at the UFC, and the UFC sold, and there's a lot of cuts, including the one that I had. And so, some things have changed for me, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to go do this one more time. I think people want to see it, and that's that. So, okay, everything's great there. I got no problem with any of that. In fact, I really appreciated it. But the other side of it is, what should we expect out of Oscar De La Hoya and promoting of mixed martial arts? I don't know. I can't answer that question. I don't know if it's going to be a cage or a ring. I don't know that Oscar knows. I don't know that's ever been said. I don't know what kind of build-up and promotion and fun we're going to get to have before the fight. And we need to have some level of that because we do understand that the fight isn't going to be overly fun. But there's still something to see there. I'm not spitting on this. I'll openly tell you that whatever I am doing that day, I will set that evening aside, and I will pitch in. I'm going to watch it.
But we haven't been told any part of the card. We have not been told the co-main event. I have heard a rumor that it's going to be Phil Baroni versus Vitor Belfort. I don't know that I believe that rumor. I think that for Vitor's participation is likely. On some levels, that would be disappointing only because he just retired. And sometimes when a guy retires, sometimes you just want a guy to mean something he says. I don't think we have to hold a guy into retirement and not earning and doing what he loves to do. I don't think that we need to do that. It just does make me wonder when sometimes, why does a guy retire if he doesn't mean it? It's also a very fun fight. Right? I have a feeling I know how that goes pretty clearly, but that doesn't mean that's not a lot of fun. There was a rumor, which we can now dispel of, maybe you guys heard it, that Eddie Alvarez, who's a free agent, and Michael Chandler, who was a free agent, were going to sign and fight on that card. I don't even know if those guys were talked to. I have not asked them. But we saw that rumor out there. I thought, okay, that could be some fun. Maybe Oscar can get his hands on some guys. But Oscar is in a pretty desperate position. That's not Oscar's fault. He just jumped into this really late, announced a fight. The fight's 2 months away. I mean, he just simply did not give himself very much time. And Oscar even had to go publicly through the media and say, if there's any fighters out there, get a hold of me. Good way to do it. And I bet a lot of fighters took him up on it. But the point is, pretty small pool right now. Not a lot of unsigned talent. There's just not a lot of unsigned guys, which is why the main event of this show is going to be a fight that the world's two top promoters, two, both of them, passed on. Scott Coker had the opportunity to promote this fight. He said, thank you, no. Dana White had an opportunity to promote this fight. He said, thank you, no. Oscar came in and grabbed it. I'm not teasing Oscar. I get a little rough on Oscar over here. I got to tell you, in fairness, I don't really know where that comes from. Seems like a perfectly decent guy. He's jumping in the space, and he is good at what he does. So even though we don't know is it going to be in a cage or a ring, even though we don't know what kind of buildup and fun we're going to get to have before the fight, and even though we're left with a main event that nobody else wanted, I think we do have a reasonable expectation based on Oscar's history and his reputation for putting on good quality, well-produced events to give them the benefit of the doubt. That is the message that I meant for all of this to culminate in and share with you. I think we owe it to Oscar because I think he's earned it. I think he earns the benefit of the doubt that he will put on something special. And by that, I mean something fun to watch, something well-produced, something with the bells and whistles, with the right announcers, the right lighting, the right atmosphere, the right camera angles. I think he will open up the purse strings to the budget, and I think he will go all in on this. I don't have any evidence to support it other than his history. And not for nothing, he's done a very good job as a promoter, and he's done a very good job as a producer of television. He does put on good shows. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's as nice as I can get about this, but largely because I'm unarmed. They have not given us a whole lot of information. I think when you look at that fight, and I don't know how much time I want to spend giving you an opinion and a breakdown of the fight, right? Because there's just not a lot to see there. With some of these guys, they're coming out and they're innovating and they're doing new things and it gets to be very compelling. But I do think when you look at that fight, it's important to tell the stories accurately. Chuck Liddell did not leave the sport on top of the world. He didn't even leave the sport because he wanted to. Chuck was forced out of the sport. His promoter sat him down, said, I got you under contract and I am no longer going to put you into the ring. That was 8 years ago. Okay, so he did not go out. It was one of those things, you know, let me bring Lennox Lewis into this. Lennox Lewis, who went out on top, where that can be helpful is if he ever wanted to come back, there would still be the question of, wow, we know he's not what he used to be, but there was a gap between him and everybody else. Lennox Lewis could stumble and still be better than all those other guys. How much has he stumbled? How serious could he take it? And even though we would then be confronted with the reality that not very well and not enough, and you just simply don't get better at something by not doing it, and Lennox would get beat up, we'd still have that talk, wouldn't we? And it would still be fun, and we'd still be able to talk about it. It's the same reason that Floyd can come back and do Conor Part 2 down the road, and likely will come back and do that, because he hadn't lost. So we can always give him that benefit of the doubt. With Chuck, it's a little bit tougher. He was forced out of the sport. Not a lot of guys get forced out. He was forced out. Didn't do it, didn't train it, and now he's coming back. The reason I say that is not to insult Chuck. It's actually quite the opposite, okay? But I have to tell that side, which isn't a pretty picture I'm painting, but I have to tell that side to get you to understand that when he and Tito fought, there was a meaningful gap. It was not competitive. It was not competitive the first time, and it was not competitive the second time. But their trajectories may have changed. They may have. Tito stayed busy. Through all his excuses and his made-up injuries and his made-up surgeries, that some happened and most did not. But through it all, he stayed busy. So in theory, he should have gotten better. And I will also offer to you, when those two fought, there was an age gap, and there still is, right? There's still a five-year age gap, and there's times in your life where those 5 years can be real helpful, and there's times in your life where those 5 years are on the wrong side of things. So I think if you were to use a level of logic, we could deduce that Chuck is not what he used to be, and Tito has not regressed as fast. I think that's fair and accurate. So I would imagine that Tito has passed him up, or at least we could make the argument that he has. One thing about Tito when he fought Chuck is he was very scared. I think you guys will be able to relate to that. You've probably got somebody in your life, and you might have to go back to a brother or sister when you were little kids. You might have to go back to somebody on the playground, maybe somebody in high school that picked on you. But there's somebody in your life who got the upper hand, and maybe you don't like them. And maybe you'd even say bad things about them. But if the truth was told and push came to shove, you would not like to meet up with that person again. And it would not matter what they did since high school or since you were little kids. It just simply wouldn't matter what they did or what you did. You just don't want to meet up with that guy again. I think all of you can relate to that. I think. I know at least 90% of you can. That's a real thing. And I have a feeling that Tito's going to have to deal with that. And those guys before Chuck destroyed him in the ring a couple of times, Chuck also manhandled him in practice. That's according to both of them. I didn't know that. I didn't even see it. They both came out and said that happened, including Tito. Tito's like, yeah, you know, Chuck used to have the upper hand on me. So you just kind of have those flashbacks. So the first thing that Chuck needs to do from a psychological standpoint, he has to make first contact, and he has to make it hard and fast. He cannot wait. Chuck must touch Tito first, and he must touch him hard. He must bring back instantly all of those old memories and fears and anxieties that Tito has, because those were a real thing when they fought. We saw that Chuck won, but it was very hard as a viewer to know who was better because Tito was so tense. And if you go back and watch those fights, it's like nothing you've ever seen Tito do before. He was locked up, every muscle in his body. He was scared to death. He was just waiting for that punch to land. He didn't relax. And when he relaxes, he's able to flow. He's able to get his own strikes off. When he's able to relax, it's able to increase his stamina. When he's able to relax, Tito, who was a wrestler, is able to start wrestling. But wrestling is flowing. Wrestling is not hard and rough. It's one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. It's a chain. And when you're tense and stiff and just waiting for that big shot to come in so you can fall down and nobody will question me. As long as I take a hard enough punch before I fall down, nobody will question me. I can get the hell out of here. Nobody will know it was a dive if I acted out just right. When you're thinking like that, and that's a very real thing. It's a very, very real thing that happens in this sport. And as fighters, we see people do it, and we never reveal it to you guys. So we want you to keep on buying the product. And we also know as fighters, sooner or later, we might have to take that way out. We don't want anybody to call us on us. It's a very big secret amongst the fellow fighters. But when you are fighting and competing that way, it just doesn't give yourself an opportunity to win. So my hope, if we're going to see this contest, we're actually going to see who's the better fighter. My hope is that Tito has let that go over the last 10 years. I guess Chuck quit eight years ago, but they fought 10 years ago. It might have been more than that. I don't even know how long ago it was. It was at least 10 years. Holy smokes. I do know, actually. Let me think. Yeah, about 10 years. I'm actually really close on that. About 10 years ago. If he can let that go and understand that Chuck has not been doing this, not even in the gym, and he has, and that Chuck's 5 years of age are now on the wrong side of things, and he can go out there and relax, I think that Tito can have some good moments. In a normal circumstance, I would pick Tito to win. It's just really hard to do It's just really hard to do. So let's see what happens. And I got to tell you guys, between now and November 23rd, that's the longest you're going to ever hear me talk about that fight. we must be having a slow day over here at Your Welcome because that fight sucks. I'm going to buy it. There's my nice part for Tito and Chuck, who I know listen to this show. No offense, guys. But you're getting my money. I'm pitching in. The fight sucks. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for.
But do you know what it actually means? And the same thing goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. Guys, it's enough to confuse anybody. All you're looking for is a price that actually means something to you. Let me introduce you to True Price from True Car. Now you will know exactly what you're going to pay for the car you want. That includes fees and accessories before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this. So they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Guys, enjoy your weekend. I appreciate you spending some time with me this week, and I promise we will be back next week starting on Wednesday. And until then, I am Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Attention! The jocks have had enough. I'm Martellus Bennett, and I'm the leader of this revolution. And I'm not sticking to sports. So join me on Revenge of the Jocks, right here on Podcast One. I'll cover a broad spectrum of what it means to be a creative, an activist, and just a guy who's trying to change the world. Download new episodes of Revenge of the Jocks with me, Martellus Bennett, every Thursday on PodcastOneSports.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts. Make sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Sounds badass? It is.